By the help of the Lord, for a while we're going to talk along the line of rebuilding. Will you join us in prayer? Yes. Amen. Almighty God, Eternal Father, Heavenly Savior, we thank you that you're able to rebuild lives. Sin and self had ruined all of us. All of us had gone astray. We took off on the wrong direction. We got off on the wrong foot. We're glad, Lord, you can rebuild lives. Father, today many lives are lying in ruin. Sin and self has caused a devastation within lives that is ruining the very purpose they're here for. Today we ask you to have mercy. Have mercy, have mercy. Bless this message. Bless everyone here. Rebuke the devil. Rebuke self. Rebuke any lightness, any preoccupied thoughts, anything, Lord, that would distract attention here from the Word of God. Lord, we're all headed towards eternity. Soon we'll all be there. Father, solemnize hearts today. Deal with souls. May souls be fair, Lord, with their own self. May someone today bow and say, I want my life changed. I want to be different. I want God to move in. And you can start the rebuilding work. Bless these thoughts, Lord. Oh, it takes more than human strength and ability. It takes God to give the increase. Lord, make the thoughts effective. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Rebuilding. I have some pictures here if I can get a hold of them. Of some scenes of what happened when Andrew was kicking up his heels. Hurricane Andrew. This first picture is a woman and her daughter. Possibly won't be able to see it so good, but this is the remains of a trailer park in Homestead, Florida. The woman has a suitcase. She's carrying that suitcase, and over here it looks like perhaps part of a piece of furniture, piece of carpet. But if you can see the picture, that's the remains. Here is a picture of a string of homes that was affected by a tornado that was spawned by Hurricane Andrew. Up here is a pickup truck that's been damaged and a string of homes here. Can you see that, how they have been Well, practically demolished some of them. And here is part of a shopping center that some of it is still standing. Down here is part of the building that's fell over. This is in Cutler Ridge Shopping Center. Does that ring any bell in you, brother? Right near the house. This guard here is perhaps there for the purposes of thwarting any looter's attempt. This scenes here that we have, Hurricane Andrew coming through with, well, one picture here, it said something about 160 miles per hour wind. Winds of 160 miles per hour, what it said. We were in Boley, Oklahoma when this hit, and Sister McIntyre, who is a resident of Gules, Florida, was at the meeting. She received the word about her home, 5-bedroom, 5-bathroom. The roof being taken off, but all of, well, there was one bedroom that the roof was remained. Inside the house was just water soaked in, things damaged. Quite an impact upon Sister McIntyre. One of the sisters felt to sing a song, "Be Not Dismayed. Whatever betide, God will take care of you." Don't know how many millions of dollars that it will cost to rebuild. A rebuilding program. But rebuilding takes money, sweat, work, and a decision, a determination. Their lives were greatly altered. Had quite an impact on Brother McIntyre, a man who usually has a positive attitude, but in the face of what happened, it had an impact on him. I don't know as yet whether they decided to rebuild or just start from scratch. Well, whichever. They would have had to rebuild a roof, had it done. Rebuilding would become necessary for these places to, well, some of them just probably should just go down to the foundation and start over. But rebuilding is quite a project. Thomas Edison, the great inventor, when he was 67 years old, his plant had a fire, very intense fire. But Thomas Edison was a man who didn't feel like throwing the towel in. A very determined individual. And so before the dawn, the fire hadn't been contained or controlled too long. He says, "Call the employees, get them together." And so they assembled together. And Mr. Edison made this incredible statement: "We are rebuilding." And so Rebuilding involves someone that's willing to get involved. We have a story in the Bible about a man, his name was Nehemiah. Nehemiah was in a place of prestige, honor. He was the king's cupbearer. That's a personal, intimate position to hold. He was the king's food taster. Pretty important, wasn't it? Somebody want to do away with the king. This man tasted his food. If he'd drop dead, I don't think the king would take it. But this man, Nehemiah, was given a job of God. And that was to rebuild a wall. That don't sound too spiritual, does it? But that was the job that God gave Nehemiah. It was a big job. So Nehemiah was profoundly moved with care because of the condition that the wall was in. And he went to ask the king to be able to go. It was a great distance from where he was to where the job site was. But he got permission from the king to take on this project of rebuilding the wall. He left security. He left luxury. He left a life of ease and comfort in exchange for a life of difficulty, labor, toiling, to be able to accomplish a purpose for God. He was a man who believed what he was going to do was important. And he set out to accomplish the job in which God intended him to perform. In a sense of the word, you could say he was willing to roll up his sleeves and sweat to get the job done and get involved. To rebuild. Jesus, thank the Lord, left a home of splendor. Communion with the Father. A place where anything he wanted, he had. He come further than Nehemiah. He come all the way to this earth for the purpose of being able to rebuild lives. We needed that. It's one thing to rebuild a wall, but it's another thing altogether to rebuild a life. But Jesus made the sacrifice. is reduced from his position to take on the form of a servant, to come into a world to be rejected, to come in humbly, born in a barn, in a place where flies come, odors and smells. But the King of Glory humbled himself to come to that kind of a place. And his ministry was trademarked by humility. As he rode into Jerusalem, he didn't have a big limousine, a little old donkey carried him in. He was humble while he was here. Far from the circumstances he would have been enjoying in heaven. He was born to die. Death was his destiny. He was put through the mockery of a trial. His sentence was death, crucifixion. As they took him to the place where the scene of Mount Calvary, nailing him to a wooden cross, hands, taking an old nail and beat it through the flesh, tearing and ripping and going through nerves all the way to the other side. And also doing the other hand the same way. This man, Jesus, was born to die so he could rebuild lives. Shattered lives. Lives that were ruined by sin. Jesus was the man sent for the job. And he accomplished his mission. He fulfilled his purpose. And he's been able to rebuild lives. Do we believe this? That he can take a life that's a mess and it's shattered and ruined and put all the pieces together. We was all messed up on the inside, folks. Sure we was. We was ruined. But a Savior come to rebuild lives. George Mueller, an outstanding man for God, but not always. He drank. He stole. He was imprisoned. He was just a low-down, no-good character. Amen. Got a hold of him. Rebuilt his life. Give him a job to do, preaching the gospel. Having orphanages for children. God inspired him with great faith. One of these orphanages one day, he learned he was out of bread. It was almost dinner time. He went to prayer. Somebody come and maybe they apologized for coming at that time. But his bread truck had broke down. You know, they had some bread for dinner. This man that used to be a thief, drank. God rebuilt his life. They had a problem with some heating system. Somebody was summoned to look the situation over and said, I have to turn off the heat. It was bitter cold in November. Turn off the heat. They went to prayer. Wasn't long after it, the wind changed directions. It come from the south. And they had to even pull up the windows. He rebuilt his life. You take the faith and victory, read the testimony of Belinda Simons of Wichita, Kansas. Maybe some of you never had the privilege to see her. Maybe someday she'll get to California and you got a treat. She was living a sinful lifestyle. Clubs, drugs, cigarettes. But one day, June the 27th, 1979, after Sister Lizzie Jordan had given her a tract and invited her to camp meeting in Tulsa, Oklahoma, she showed up. She didn't look like to herself. She was presentable to come up and sit with Sister Jordan, so she took a seat back there somewhere. And Sister Beverly Reed preached that night. And it described her situation so well that she thought she must, something about talking to her mother. The Holy Ghost can give words that can touch people's lives. The message went far. The songs that were sung. You know what happened? She knelt at the altar. And she touched Jesus that night. That one that come to rebuild lives. And she wasn't. God has blessed Sister Belinda so wonderfully. Give her a talent of singing. And she sings to the glory of God. She's different. Her life has been changed and altered. The Lord is still rebuilding her life. Not only did he rebuild George Mueller, not only did he rebuild Belinda Simons, Captain John Newton was an infidel. He was a captain on a boat that transported slaves. And he carried a leather whip around with him. And it just wasn't an ornament. He used it. He split backs open. He was so mean that other sailors didn't want to have anything to do with him or didn't want to associate with him. Mean man. They got a book about him. And the name of it's The Devil on Deck. But one day, that master rebuilder got a hold of Captain John Newton and changed him around. Began to rebuild his life. And he wrote the song that enjoys long longevity. Amazing. Or was a sweet sound to him. yes. Saved and wrecked like Captain John. Like me. Captain John Newton changed. And he was able to help push legislation through that made what he was doing illegal. He had a rebuilt life. Changed. Made different. Oh, there's lists as long as my arm and longer of people that God miraculously rebuilt their life. Not only did Captain John behold the change, I was lost, but no more. I'm found now. I was blind, spiritually blind. I couldn't see the right way to go, but no more. I can see now. I was blind, but now I see. Oh, yes. And it not only helped him see where he was, but it helped him to see what was out there in eternity. When we... Yes. It gave him a hope. This is why he was inspired, bright shining as the sun. We have no less days. Yes, amen. To sing his praise. Yes, thank God. And you see the difference. Perhaps before he was saved, if he had been honest, no hope would lie beyond his dying breath. But since the rebuilding project was going on in him, he could see hope for eternity. And if I've been there when I'm there 10,000 years, we'll have no less days to sing his praise. And not only that, it gave him hope in life. Yes. Sing that verse, through many dangers. Yes. Yes. Have you come through some already? Already come. Yes, it's grace. It brought me this far. Yes, Lord. And grace will lead me on. It put a hope within him, an assurance. Since I've been saved, in other words, it's been dangers and toils and snares. He said, I've already come through them. It was grace that brought me safely as far, and it's going to be grace that takes me on. His life was rebuilt. Amen. Has the Lord rebuilt your life? Somebody turn to this man, Nehemiah's story. Nehemiah, the 4th chapter. And read down through the 10th verse, please. Nehemiah 4. Nice and loud and clear, please. way through the job.
But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth.
They were really mad.
All of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God.
Yes. Well, this man that took on this project, Brother Nehemiah, leaving the security and the luxury of the king's palace, and his job of importance, started running into some real stiff difficulty. Don't be surprised when you start doing something for the Lord if you start having some real stiff difficulty. The opposition was very angry. A wall was real important to a city in his day. It was a defense against the enemy. And these enemies didn't want this wall to be constructed, be built. And they was mad, and they mocked, and they got a conspiracy going. But Nehemiah believed in what he was doing. He was handpicked, chosen of God. And he was in the position and doing the work God had ordained him to do. And he wasn't about to throw in the towel. Or to give up. They said, well, if a fox would walk over this thing, it'd just collapse. You ever been doing something for the Lord and people just make light statements? Somebody said, oh, yes. No time to get discouraged, is it? After they was in this conflict, they prayed. Folks, that's the way to do it. Hit your knees. Don't talk about it. Don't magnify it. But hit your knees. And talk to Jesus. When he undertook the job, he probably didn't have any idea that I'm going to run into all this difficulty just to rebuild a wall. But he did. Maybe things you undertake to do for God, maybe you don't think, well, this won't get anybody stirred up. But it does. But this was a man of courage and determination. Even his burden bearers got weak. Their strength started to decay. And they ended up saying, we're not able to complete it. Now what do you do? What do you do when people just back off? We can't complete this. It's just halfway done. And they got to looking at what? Huh? They got to looking at this rubbish. Read that 10th verse again, sister.
And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed.
The strength of the burden bearers is ebbing away. They're getting tired here. They got the job half over.
And there is much rubbish. not able to build the wall.
Now what do, Nehemiah? You come all the way to Jerusalem to rebuild this wall. And you get started in this project. And you get half finished. And your burden bearers begin to get discouraged. Would any leader like that kind of a situation? And they said so that we, because there was much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. Look at that rubbish there. See it? Wouldn't it take something to rebuild that? This place is worse shape. Of course, it was trailers. They can't rebuild that. They have to start off good. You see the rubbish? What do? You throw your hands up and say, well, we got a halfway. Maybe somebody will come on 100 years and get the other half up. We're just tired. We're just worn out. And we're weak. And we're losing our vision of accomplishment and a sense of fulfillment. That's in trouble. You know what the enemy would like for people to get halfway and throw up their hands? But Nehemiah was having no part of it. He wasn't about to stop what God had ordained him to do. Have you ever read the poem of Columbus? He was a man who felt as though the earth was round, and it was the theory back in those days that it was just flat. You go so far, you drop off. And so they set out to prove that to be wrong, that it was not flat. And they sailed and sailed, and they didn't have a picnic. And this poem, and the men become mutinous. What you gonna do, Columbus? Huh? Sail on. Sail on, sail on. Oh, it got... There was a time they couldn't even see the stars. Do you turn back now, Columbus? Sail on, sail on. Order over here. Get a son to this man. Instead of sitting there and pitying yourself, get up and work. You had a mind to work a while ago. Get up and work. Your strength might be ebbed away some, but don't give down. Keep on working. He meant business. You need to mean business. I mean to go right on. Well, the promise was being to fight the fight of faith. Till when? Life on earth is done. Oh, don't turn back. I won't know defeat. God will give me the victory. Come on, where I go. Going on. May God inspire you to go on. Quitters never win. And winners never quit. But what if it gets hot? What if the trials bombard you? What if it looks dark every direction? attraction you look. Oh, if Jesus is by your side, and there's peace in your soul, no matter if the battles are mean to win the goal. Go on. Thank the good Lord. They went on. You know what they did? They got rid of the rubbish. Time to get rid of the rubbish. Time to get rid out from the attic to the basement. Old thoughts can be rubbish. Yes. Old thoughts can be rubbish. The enemy attacks the mind, folks. Is it? Use your imagination now that this is your mind. And the enemy comes with this thought. He starts talking to you. Well, you know that is right. Ladies don't respect me and treat me like they should. And that thought is accepted into the mind. And this individual comes around and these thoughts get bigger. Get so big. Just keep growing and growing. And after a while, it drops down in here. In the heart now. He's entertained up here in his room a long time. And now it gets down in here, in the heart, in the master control center. And these things come on roots. See how they're getting a hold here? Brother, you got you something now. Rubbish. Trash. You're going to have to get God to get that out now. When it was presented up here, he said, no, I don't want no part of it. They haven't treated me right, but I'm the one. I've got to keep myself right. I don't want it. But now they got some rubbish in here. Rubbish. Tell me something. It could be a rubbish. Got any ideas? Unforgiveness. I was talking with someone, a couple. And this man expressed something that his wife had did. She had made a comment to him. And I don't even know what all was said. He talked and talked, and after a while she had a turn. Come to find out that she had said this years ago, and she had apologized. Unforgiveness. And that hurt. And those words had not left him. They were still there. Unforgiveness is rubbish. It needs to go. When we have unforgiveness in our heart, we commit spiritual suicide. If we cannot forgive, the Lord won't forgive us. What else? Resentment? If you've ever read the little book that Brother Wayne Murphy wrote about the watchman on the wall. He was a good watchman. And pride come along to give him a visit. And he got lifted up. And after he got lifted up, he began to look down on another watchman. And he got to resenting him. And not only did he resent him, he resented his family. When his family would come around, he would get this feeling inside. Resentment. I read about a man who went to one of these stamp machines, and he put 50 cents in to get some stamps. Well, you know how erratic the behavior of stamp machines or any other machines could be. So no stamps come out. Seemed to really trouble him. And so he copied off the address of this company. Took the time to sit down and write to them, wanting the money back that he used for the stamp to send the letter. In addition to the 50 cents that he lost. Well, time went by and no reply, no acknowledgement of any letter that he sent. And all the time he was harboring this feeling in there. And one day, he saw this address, looked at it. He did something different that day. May have said that he prayed and he took that address and put it in the trash. You know what happened? The feeling went too. That resentment went too. Resentment is rubbish. It needs to be get rid of. There are other things. Anger. Flying off the handle. Read about one lady, and she'd go visit her son-in-law every year. And when she was there, she had this arthritis problem. She didn't like her son-in-law. And when she'd go back home, her arthritis would leave. Rubbish. Needs to go. Bad attitudes. Do you know a person's attitude can even be reflected out of their face? on their face, on their countenance. Bad attitudes. Even the way a person can look can portray an attitude. May God help us to clear thy mouth. Have not a rummage sale, but a rubbish removal. Get them out. Do you know if you keep these things, it can stop the flow of grace? It can stop the love of God from flowing and wreck and ruin your life. You think that some people's hearts kind of in this shape. Their mind just cluttered and filled with debris. Some of these things maybe doesn't hardly resemble what they were formerly. Rubbish. Ruin. It ruins the life. It'll stop the flow of grace. Somebody come up here and help me put this illustration up here. Now, y'all use your imagination a little bit. This represents an old-fashioned water wheel. Anybody ever seen one? The way it operates is a stream of water flows down here, and it makes this revolve around. It turns it. And then this wheel operates something, a mechanism on the inside of the building that grinds wheat. Grinds wheat. So the stream plays a real important part in this operation. Suppose that one day, the man that owns this comes down, and instead of this wheel revolving around, it's just at a dead standstill. No movement. And so, he wants to get the grain ground up, and he begins to just pull and push and tug to get this wheel to move it. All of his efforts doesn't do much. So he decides to call in his good friend. Got a problem. Water wheel stopped. Would you come over and see if you can help me to turn this wheel? So his friend comes over. And both of them together, they push and pull and push and pull and push and pull. And when they stop pushing and pulling, the wheel stops. So that's not solving the problem. There's some rubbish that's clogging up the stream and keeping the stream from flowing. Small pieces of wood and bottles and rubbish. And a wheel just sits still. Do you know they could push and pull the rest of their life? And the problem would never be solved. They could call in other people. And when they get tired, they could have another shift take over. And they could push and pull. And the problem would never be solved. What would solve it? Huh? Go down here to the problem and get rid of that. And then that stream will just flow and that wheel will just start turning. And the grain will get ground. One people was having some trouble getting water. And they called a service person out to service it. And they found out it was ants causing the problem. Little ants. Call them fire ants. They was collecting up and causing a short. When they got rid of the little bitty ants, they didn't have to buy a new pump. They had water. Can be a little something, can't it? The little foxes spoil the vine. A little something could keep it from flowing. The thing to do is remove the hindrance. Get rid of it. Get rid of the rubbish. Nehemiah had the rubbish removed and the wall went up. Rebuilding. One song says, heartaches, broken pieces, ruined lives. That's why he died on Calvary. If you got rubbish in your life today, the Holy Ghost can remove it. You can strain and push and shove, but if you got something clogging up, you got to remove the hindrance so God's love and blessings can flow. May God bless you.